enough time to tuck. Everybody okay with that? Enough time for the sweater either. A couple things I put in there got moved, just saying. Let me dive right in this morning. We, in the fall, talked about the idea that we need to have dreams. How many remember that? If you are a regular attender, hopefully you do. If you are newer to the church and have come in recently, I encourage you to check out some of those sermons on dreams. I don't know about you, but I would say that I am more dreamer than I am a detailed type of person. More ideas person than a strategic thinker. More and more I'm learning the necessity of strategic thinking and trying to be more about that than dreams, to be more realistic than idealistic. There'd be some of you today that you are more about, hear me, giving your dreams to God than letting him download his dreams and his vision to you. Let me say that again. You might be, and this is where I'm guilty sometimes. God, here's my ideas. Bless it. Here's where I want to go. Bless it. Come on, everybody, I never done that before. Here's what I want. Here's what I want with my family. Here's what I want with my marriage. Here's what I want with my ministry. Here's what I want with my leadership. And there are times that I'm telling God, and I go, okay, God, here's where I'm going. You're going to come too, right? And I feel like lately God is speaking into my own life that he is saying this: stop getting me to follow you. How about you follow me? And I feel like that is probably not just a Scott thing. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Scott, by the way. And I don't think it's just a Scott thing. I think it's a human condition thing. That even if we're walking with God, there are times we want him more to walk with us than we want to walk with him. And there's a big shift. It's a big difference because it's a shift of lordship. It's a shift of leadership. It's a shift of trust. It's a shift of moving from conditional to unconditional in our followership. And so I felt very impressed upon, not that we forsake our dreams, but every dream that we have, and the central character when we looked at the idea of dreams was Joseph, who had these dreams, and God is the one that downloaded them, but he kind of fumbled them and jumbled them up to the point that he misunderstood the whole idea, nature, and nuance of those dreams to his own detriment. It took a long time, decades really, for him to see God had downloaded that, and God wanted him to follow God after God, not God to follow after him. There's certain places in your life that God is speaking to you a clear vision. He wants to download. Do you have room for him to speak? Do you have margin for him to be able to come in to bring his visions? Scripture says in the book of Isaiah, his thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are higher. And so if you only come with your own thoughts, only come with your own ways, you are squeezing out, even if they're good ones, you're squeezing out the best and the perfect plan of what God wants to do. I'm not talking to wayward thinkers, I'm talking about incomplete thinkers. Talking about people that you might be wanting to follow after God, but you keep getting tripped up in some of the details because you are more about your own dreams than God downloading his vision into your life. To help us get there, we're going to do 4 weeks in a book entitled Habakkuk. Now, if you've never heard of the book of Habakkuk, let me help you out a little bit. Even if you have heard about it, you probably don't know much about it. It's one of my favorite books. When I went to seminary, I learned about this block of scripture called the 12 minor prophets. It's how the Old Testament concludes. It's these strange names: Zechariah, Zephaniah, Micah, Malachi, Haggai, Hosea. I remember that part of the scripture. It's not one you really go to much. You don't go, let me see what Haggai has to say about my situation. It's not really where you go, but you'd be wise to go there every once in a while because there's great stuff. It quickly became, a guy by the name of Malcolm Brubaker was my professor, fell in love with his heart over God's word and studying after God because of that tremendous class on the minor prophets. It's always had a special place in my heart. Habakkuk is the 8th book out of that time frame. They're not minor in that they're minor in their importance or significance. They're minor in, like, for example, Habakkuk only gets 3 chapters, but he says a whole lot in 3 chapters. In fact, you could hang out in Habakkuk for a while, and you would have some good life and resource within you if you just kind of just hung out with Habakkuk for a little bit. And so what I want you to see is this incredible book, the 8th book out of those 12 minor prophets, that God speaks into an existence where they hadn't heard from God in a long time. How do we know that there are times in our own lives now, because of our culture, because of the demands, because of the distractions, sometimes it's hard to hear from God? Even if you really want to, forget if it's just a casual passing glance towards God, it's hard for us to lean in. We are more distraction, distracted people rather than people of traction. And the differentiation that God wants to bring into our lives is to focus on him and what he wants to bring. So the who is Habakkuk was a prophet. A prophet was one, and he either was a prophet and a priest, or he was a priest that had a prophetic role. You know what a priest does? They stand between us and God. A prophet is one that would speak for God as a mouthpiece. They would either bring forth telling to kind of say, if you don't get this right, here's what God is going to do. Or a foretelling of, this is a prediction of, regardless of what happens, it's been set into motion. A prophet could never be wrong. Do you know the penalty if a prophet got something wrong in the Old Testament? Death. They would literally be stoned to death. So, even in our culture today, if you feel like you're a prophet, don't say you're a prophet. Just say maybe every once in a while God uses you to bring a word of truth or a word of prophecy. Because if you're wrong, just saying, we're going to go Old Testament on you, all right? So I want you to lean in for a few moments regarding Habakkuk. So he either came from a school of prophets or he was a priest or both and proposition. So I learned a long time ago in literature class that anytime you organize a book, whether it be a spiritual one or a regular book, that a great way to organize it is ask these questions. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. Those six vital questions. So to help give you an intro on this vital book, let's do it that way. So the who, I just told you. His name meant or means to embrace or to wrestle. This is a both and proposition again. Let me do it from this standpoint. There are times in your life that you need to wrestle with God so that then you could embrace him. Embrace all that he has for you. Am I communicating so far? So you may not be ready to fully embrace what he has for you. Some of the things he says are counterintuitive. The last shall be first. What's up with that? That he who is greatest shall be least of all. What's going on with that? If you want to be great, you must serve. Some of those things are not easily digested or to embrace. So you and I wrestle with them. There's an Old Testament character by the name of Jacob that he wrestled with God and overcame. That type of an idea is you and I need to be with grappling with God, going to the deeper things of God, staying in that place, not just have a passing glance, not just acknowledge him, but to go to the deeper places of what God wants to bring into your life so that as you wrestle with him, you have a deeper understanding, you kind of get a little bit more of his heart for you, you get how much he loves you, and because of that, now you can embrace all that he has for you, his heart for you, and his hand for you. Does everybody understand that? It's huge. And so we're going to come back to that idea because it is intentional, it's purposeful, that God uses a prophet. His name came before the role came, right? He wasn't prophesying out of the womb, but his name was given as a young child so that he'd then walk in it so that you and I would know even today there are certain things God is okay with you wrestling with him on it. It's okay to bring your doubt to God. I don't really get it. God's like, I can handle that. He wants you, though, to come closer, to bring all of that, to bring your disbelief, to bring your doubt, bring your questions. I still often, you got a notebook today, and you're going to use that in a few moments. I still often, I journal just about every day, and I still often in my margins will write, I don't get it. I don't understand. The other day, I literally wrote in there, God, if I might, I don't agree. Come on, you ever done that before? Am I the only one? You can do a petition now to have me removed. I would understand. But then you have this idea of the who. I'm going too slow on this. The who, drag me along, George. What aspect is this? Habakkuk writes his book from this standpoint, and some of you are living this today. You are tired of seeing God not act in areas that you wish he should. Areas of famine, areas of injustice, areas of wickedness prevailing. Come on, have you seen that? And sometimes it happens in the church, and sometimes it happens outside of the church. We struggle with this. That type of culture, Habakkuk looks around, and he's like, hold on a second. You want me to speak for you, but this is a culture that doesn't deserve your voice. This is a culture that doesn't deserve to hear from you, and I'm not going to speak for you. That's his first response. If you know anything about the scripture, there's another minor prophet by the name of Jonah who had a similar response. There's a people called Nineveh. They were wicked. They had nothing to do with God. It's one thing to be wicked in the church. It's another outside of the church. They'd still deserve a chance. Well, I shouldn't really go down that route. But Ninevites were known for how wicked and pagan they were. And Jonah goes, I'm not going there. They don't deserve any mercy. They just keep rejecting you, God. And so Jonah says, no. And he never really resolves that. Habakkuk has this incredible opportunity of a dialogue between he and God. And through that, through his wrestling with God, he embraces what God wants to do, not just around him, but through him to make it happen. It's an incredible story that ensues. So God's perceived inaction, though, sometimes frustrates us. How many of you get frustrated about that? Or you don't see him acting enough on your behalf to be your defender, to be truly your redeemer. He seems slow sometimes. And sometimes we struggle with that. Who, what, where? It's happening in the area of Judah. Judah is the southern region in that area. So I'll quickly here. There were 12 tribes in that area. The whole nation of Israel was organized into 12 tribes. By this point in time, Judah had split off. God had taken them and divided them, and they become very vulnerable politically. They become vulnerable from a battle standpoint. There's a northern kingdom. 11 tribes stay there. They're known as Israel. In this time frame, when you see Israel and Judah split, Israel was the northern part, and Judah was the southern part. Judah is its own tribe, but it was the largest one, most influential. It's where Jerusalem was, and that area is where Habakkuk is residing and then speaking back into those people. That's the place. The time frame is somewhere between 589 to 612. Now think, I actually should have inverted it because you're counting down because it's before Christ, it's BC. Everybody with me on that? So it actually is from 612 down towards 589. 589 is an important marker because that is when Judah would go into exile. 722 is when northern Israel would go into exile. Habakkuk is speaking towards the people that's going, hold on a second, something is happening here. And God, whether you're going to do something or you're not going to intervene, we can tell something is about to take place. And what does take place is they lose their land, they lose their identity, they lose everything about them off to the side because God finally does step in and he says, enough is enough, you are disqualified. Only God knows where that line is, even in today's culture. But at some point, God says, enough is enough, and he will intervene and do something on his own behalf more than on our behalf. So then you have who, what, where, when, and you have the why. Here's why this book is written, and here's why you need it for your own life as you embark on a new year. You and I need to understand that God is still in control despite apparent triumph of evil. Read it as temporary. Read it as those places where you see that happen again with my neighbor, happen again with that wicked boss. Man, why do they still keep prospering? Why does that keep taking place? Man, they cashed in the lease again. Really? Man, really? Now they're adding on to their deck. Like all those kind of things you struggle with because you feel like you have an inside peek into their character or lack thereof, and you struggle with when evil continues to triumph, especially over you. And you and I need to understand God is still in control. You with me? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? How does it take place? God and Habakkuk have this incredible dialogue. Let me give you an inside peek. So Habakkuk says to God, and somehow he gets God's ear, and he says to him, I don't really like what's going on here. In fact, I feel like there's a lot going on from them, but nothing going on from you. What say you about this, God? And God then steps in. It's the beginning of chapter 2. After all of chapter 1 is this complaint. It literally says, you'll either see it as Habakkuk's prayer or Habakkuk's complaint in the heading in chapter 1. He just downloads, and God's like, are you done yet? And then chapter 2, God speaks. And God answers him, and Habakkuk is writing this after the fact. He is inscribing it in his own notebook, in his own journal, God downloading to him. You with me? The Lord answered me, write the vision. And the implication is not your own vision, Habakkuk, because we've already established, Habakkuk, your vision is to get rid of them. Mine is to redeem them. And so sometimes, hear me, there are certain places you may have a vision, you may have a dream. It needs to go by the wayside to go, but wait, hold on a second, God. How about rather than me giving you my vision, how about I receive what you want to download into my life, because that probably will be better in the long run. Temporarily, I think mine is better, God, but probably in the long run, because like you see yesterday, today, and forever at the exact same time, probably you have a better handle on this, even though I'm a little bit emotional about it right now. Anyone ever been there? Any takers? Anyone? Okay. So you have this idea that write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. So the idea is twofold. One is that a herald, somebody would take that writing, go deliver it. The other is the mere discipline of writing something down. I don't know if you know this. The mere discipline of writing something down means you are 15 times more likely to remember it. Come on. This is why, this is for free, everybody. If you are still in school, one of the greatest things you can actually do is to rewrite your notes over and over again, keep paring them down, keep consolidating the notes you take on a daily basis in your class, do a debrief and go, if I had 2 pages of notes, how do I get it to have triggers of 1 page of notes, and keep paring it down, go back to it to be able to establish the move from short term to long term. I had no plan on saying that, but that's for free. That'll get you into Yale and Harvard. You'll thank me later. Okay. Make it plain. There's something about your for yourself, the discipline of writing it down, but also it becomes a tool of posterity and legacy to shift from temporary to established or to legacy. Hope I didn't lose you in that turn. Then the conversation ensues. For still, the vision awaits its appointed time. God is speaking about a vision that is articulated and authored in heaven that he will now establish on earth. Everybody see that there, the inference that's there. The vision, Habakkuk's not your vision. Habakkuk's not the evil people's vision. Don't worry about all that. Don't be distracted by that. Don't make it so peripheral or horizontal. But what I'm doing in the verticality of my relationship on the earth and on that planet, please understand that still, that vision's still there. I'm not going, oh, wait, what's going on earth? I was taking an extended nap after I was binge watching Netflix. That's not happening in heaven. God is fully attentive and aware of everything that's going on in your life. He is touched with it. Please understand this. So that vision still awaits its appointed time. God is saying, I'll do it when I see fit in the fullness of time, at the exact right time and the right place. Just trust me on it. But if you have to wrestle to get there, I'm totally good with it. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. It's true what God is saying. God cannot lie. He cannot be mocked. If it seems slow, have you ever think God's moving a little bit slow? God, you have like glacial speed. Can you please pick it up a little bit. Come on. Wait for it, he says. Man, that's a good word. If he seems slow, still wait for it. Man, on the edge of your seat, wait for it. Then it continues. It will surely come. And even though you think already it's delayed, it will not delay. It'll all make sense. How many of you have had times when you wanted that relationship, you wanted that car, you wanted that situation, and God kind of had to intervene and say, hold steady, and then 6 months later you go, oh, got it. Come on, have you ever had those moments? Come on, but God can handle that along the way. Your first inclination is not to embrace, it's to wrestle, but stay with him and wrestle him in the ring so you can embrace him as your best friend. God can handle all those twists and turns. So let's do it this way. I want you to all take out I neglected to keep going. Hold on, forgive me. Next slide, please, George, thank you. Behold. Remember what the word behold means? It's to see and hear simultaneously. Behold, his soul is puffed up. Who's God speaking about? Is he speaking about Habakkuk? Is he speaking about collective wicked man? What do you think? How many of you think it's Habakkuk? How many of you think it's collective wicked man? How many of you are utterly confused at this point? How many of you are so confused you don't even know what to raise your hand for at this point? Behold, his soul is puffed up. He's speaking about collective man. It's puffed up, it's arrogant, it's haughty. It's not upright within him. God is saying, I get it. All that you're saying about your neighbor, all that you're saying about a boss that you cringe when Monday rolls around again. I get it. I get it. Not upright. But now, watch this. He shifts. Now he's speaking to Habakkuk. And he's bringing kind of this communication sandwich. He's kind of communicating with a velvet hammer to Habakkuk. I don't know if you see that there, but it's there. But the righteous, wink, wink, hint, hint, Habakkuk, shall live by his faith. So don't get distracted. Don't worry about what's going on around or what you think I'm not doing. Don't worry about what distracts you. Don't worry about my perceived delay. You stay focused on your own righteousness more than being right and more than your own rights. Do I need to say that again? Stay with your own sense of righteousness more than being right or worrying about your own rights. And we're going to flesh this out as we look at seek the Lord. Seek him first with all of your, seek the Lord and his righteousness. We're going to unpack that in our sessions in our seek week, because that's a huge aspect that you seek him and his righteousness. Otherwise, you will drift into, it'll be about your rightness and your rights more than his righteousness. Just a thought. Let me keep going. So then you have this, after they have this dialogue, now Habakkuk has his turn to speak back to God. And Habakkuk shares back to God. It's Habakkuk 3, one of the incredible passages of Scripture. He says this, back to God. Oh Lord, I've heard of, I like the translation actually that says it this way, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your work, O Lord. I fear you. I have a holy fear that's reverential, but it causes me to come closer is what that means. In the midst of the years, all that we see before us, it seems like a wasteland, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In your wrath, and that's what I've been praying for, God, man, bring your wrath. And his original prayer was, in your wrath, remember wrath. And after he wrestles with God, after he embraces God, he has this shift, borrowing the heart of God for all of mankind and over circumstances and over his own life. He says, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy. And God wants to bring that into your life. So here's what I want you to do. Y'all have a notebook with you. Y'all grab one on the way in. One was imposed upon you this morning. What you're going to do now is, I want you to, if you can follow along with me, I think we're okay on time. I want you to turn until you have a lined page on the left and on the right. So that's not complete yet. Go at least one more. You have lined on the left and lined on the right. Everybody show me your notebook, please. I'm going to pretend we're in class. All right, you're off to a good start. You all get an A for participation. Thank you so much. Here's what I want you to do, and I'm just going to share it from this perspective. I believe wholeheartedly that you need to start, I see it in the principle of Scripture, that you need to start every day with planned out time with the Lord. It is your first relationship. It needs to be first. He is not central. He is first. There's a big difference. Because if he is central, watch this, you can go through a lot of things on the periphery, on the outer edges, on the mantle, before you ever get to the core of who he is. Are y'all with me? So stop saying he's central, because sometimes you never get to the center. You just stay on the periphery, and that's part of the problem. It's a distracted life. He is number one, which means that he is first, he is foremost, and he is at the forefront of our lives. So I get it that there are people that want to have their quiet time, devotional time, if at all, in the evening. I get it. You should do that too, but not instead. Because if it's instead, and there are some people that, oh, that's how I finish my day, it'll always be more about confession than about anticipation. It'll be more reaction than proaction. It'll be more about you than it is about other people. Because you actually will read yourself into be the center of the story rather than his glory be the center of the story. Am I communicating this morning? So I push back every time I have a conversation, and I believe there's chapter and verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first Jeremiah says it this way in 29 verse 13, if you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw near unto him and he will draw near unto you. Earnestly I seek you is what David says, which means in the early watches of the morning, Jesus set the pattern up. Before the sun would come up, he'd go to the other side of the shoreline. It is your first and foremost relationship. Make sure it is uninhibited and none other eclipses. So the reason I want you to look at the notebook, and I'm taking a little bit too much time with this, is this. Some of us in a relationship with God, it is like we are on a date with our spouse, but the entire time we're on our own phone. And some of you need to understand, God wants to have face-to-face time with you, put away all the other distractions. So here's what I mean by this. So you may have really good tools, and if you do, then disregard this. And actually, I'd love to hear if you have better practices than this. I'm not an expert, but as the best of my ability in a thirst after God, I've had regular quiet times with God since I was in middle school, that nearly every day I'll spend time with him. I'll vary it, I'll change it up. If you'd like to know more about it, come find me. But nearly every day I will write or I'll type in some regard, and I found that this model helps me the most. So take it or leave it, but I think some people just need to start with this, that you will start every day with an open notebook and obviously an open what else? An open Bible. I don't care if it's paper. I don't care if it's digital. I don't care if you have it memorized. That would be even better. But in any way, have an open notebook, a clean slate, start with a clean slate every day to remind yourself you bring no preconceived agenda or itinerary. You want him to download into blank space. Come into a clean slate. So here's the thing. Put up the next slide. So in your rhetorical question, that's good. Is your vision distracted or displaced? That's what we're going to start to unpack from this standpoint. I'm sorry, I missed that slide, George. I'll left you hanging there. Is your vision distracted or displaced? That's a rhetorical question for you to consider. I want you to get traction back, so keep pulling me along. So we're going to write the vision in a notebook or a journal. So watch this. If you ever have time with God, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or somewhere in between, how many of you, as you start to go to God, well, let's just own this together, you ever distracted by other things? Oh, man, I'm called mom in a long time. You know, I really should fix my car. It's making noises that now the neighbors are complaining, right? That gutter is falling off. Oh, I got a deadline. How many of you ever had that before? Here's what I want you to do. Use your journal, your notebook, during your spiritual time with God. Let yourself be okay with using the left side of this, things that you need to leave behind now, left behind now, but you need to get to them at some point. If you will write it down, you will release it, and you won't have as much anxiety about that thing. You need to capture it, you need to embrace it. Are y'all with me? You need to embrace it, you need to capture it. Go to the next slide. You need to capture it, you need to embrace those thoughts. On your right side, you're going to have thinking that God wants to bring into your life, the right thinking that he wants to bring into your life. The left side are the things that need to be left behind temporarily. They're important. They're important to you. They're probably things that all of a sudden in that time with God, he revealed them to a certain extent. Immediately begin to organize and sort it out, right side from left side. Raise your hand if you understand so far. Okay, let's illustrate it one more time. Bring up the colored slide. So on your right side are the things that you're embracing. The blue even symbolizes this idea of trust, of royalty, of dignity, that right side. Go with it. Start to go, God, based upon this scripture, what are you speaking to me? So for example, the one in Habakkuk, you have this shift. First, God is speaking to Habakkuk about other people. If you're paying attention, you see that God shifts the audience to Habakkuk in the same statement. That's important for you to look at. So if you were studying that scripture, you go, interesting. Okay, God, you are acting on my behalf. You're acting on your own behalf. I receive that. Now, though, what do you want to speak to me regarding the righteousness that you want to bring into my own life? Everybody still good? Okay. But then, if you're anything like me, then you probably, in the midst of that, there is this torrent of other information that's coming your way, and you must capture it in some regard. So I remember getting discussions on this in seminary. Okay, does that mean you call mom right then? No, because still your relationship with God is higher than your call that you need to make. Okay, well, how about my boss calls? No, you leave it for a moment, you finish your time with God, but you still need to write it down. And next week I'm going to talk to you about how to use those two sides. So my goal for you is you would use this as a tool for the next 7 days, bring it with you each night at Seek Week, date those each night, and then bring it back with you, and then I'm going to have you pull on it a little bit more next week to show you how to actually categorize and leverage your left side and your right side. Everybody still good? Okay, good. So let me make it into a spiritual aspect here for you. What right thinking is God wanting to share with you? The hint is this. This right side is your Mary page. Have you ever heard of the passage of Scripture where Jesus goes into the home of Mary and Martha? And he notices that Martha's scurrying all around, right? I always equate her to an Italian grandmother. She's like, you know, I got brujol in the oven and the bazelles are cooling off. And, you know, she's got everything going. And Jesus says this, Mary, Martha, you're distracted by many things. He's not saying you're an idiot, you're evil, you're wicked. He's saying you're distracted by good things, by temporary things. I have come to visit with you all and for relationship, for being more than doing. So then he says, well, look at Mary. She's at my feet. We're just visiting. Mary has chosen what is, help me, it's better. I'm not saying she's best. I'm not saying that what you're doing is wrong, Martha. All I'm saying is you're distracted by many things. You might be distracted, then capture it. God, I own it. I am distracted. And put your top 10 list, and then I'll show you what to do with that list next week, because it becomes your to-do list. It becomes your checklist. You put it into whether it's a maker or a manager type of a task. But stay focused on, but for right now, I choose what's better. I choose my relationship with God. I need to hear from God, and he needs to hear from me. I have my blank open space, and then every day, maybe you need more. Date everyone. Maybe you need more, but every day start with a blank slate. Don't let it overrun from the week before or the day before. Everybody good? Okay, so that's your merit page. That's your vertical. That's your seek first. The other side is it's the all these things. And God says this, watch this, over your life, seek him first and his righteousness, and the all these things will be added unto you. He'll give you the wisdom to know when, where, and what needs to be applied into your life practically. Is that okay? Is that too practical for Sunday morning? Is everybody okay with that? Okay, I want you to understand that to walk with God is not just super spiritual, it's also super practical. God has the best word on time management. God has the best word on our financial planning. God has the best word on raising our children. God has the best word on living a full and free life. God has the word on living a power-filled, pure-filled life. God has the best word on all of it. Seek him out, wrestle with him so you can embrace him. You can embrace him. So that's your tool just to begin. Take it slow. Don't gag on it, but I encourage you, get up a little bit earlier tomorrow. Here's my goal. Get up 7 minutes earlier than you normally would. 7 minutes. Read for a couple minutes. Very small portion of scripture. Write down your initial observations. Some of you might need to write this down in your margin. How many of you are taking notes right now? If you're taking notes, you might want this. This may help you. You've heard me say this before. I'll throw this in now. Oh, shoot. Come help me. They'll pull me along faster, Melody. Some of you need to organize your writing in this regard. It is an acronym spelling ACTS. It is adore. So let's pretend we're going back to that Habakkuk chapter 2 passage. God, I adore you because you see things better than I do. Lord, I adore you. I adore your every move. At first glance, I don't understand it. But upon further review, I adore you. Because that's the way you looked at me, God, when I was far from you. You didn't smite me. You invited me. And so, Lord, I adore you because the way that you view others is the way that you originally viewed me. So I adore you. Everybody with me? Second part is confession. And again, if you only do this at night, you'll be overloaded on confession. You'll be like, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. Is my priest coming to the door yet or not? And another thing, and another thing. You'll be standing there. But you need to confess your lack of faith. You need to confess your lack of obedience. Write it down. Be specific. Don't let anybody else look at this. This is not a diary. This is your communication with God. And confess it. Thirdly, the letter T is to thank him. This morning I simply wrote, I looked at Isaiah 40 verses 30 and 31. And I literally at the thanks portion, I just put, God, thanks for this passage. Because as I read the passage, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, as I read it, I began to see my spirit soar. God's power was unleashed in spirit over the truth of his word. It was amazing to me. And so I got to the point, I was so excited. I just said, thanks for this passage. Thank you that you included this in for me. And then I don't do this first, and it takes a discipline. And this is where it really starts to morph between I have to separate my left from my right in my notebook. And I categorize it this way. God's supply. And so for Sundays, every Sunday morning I write, Lord, supply a full house. Lord, supply those that are hungry, those that are far from God. Supply those that are returning. Supply an anointed message, anointed music. Maybe be welcoming. I write all this down, and literally this morning, then I wrote down between me and God, I said, God, am I asking for too much? And then I went back to asking because I felt like God wanted me to keep asking. Lord, supply over and through my life. Supply it, supply it. You are my reservoir. You are my resource. And so I organize it that way. And then when I get to that end of the supply, we'll pull on this more next week. But then what I begin to do is I especially split up my right and my left, and I begin to differentiate, God, what do you want to supply to add into my life spiritually? What do you want to supply because I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a maker, I'm a leader, I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, I'm a speaker, I'm a communicator, all that. And so I begin to sort that out, and I'll help you to sort that out if you don't have a good plan on that. God wants to manage your energy more than he wants to manage your time. He wants to leverage that. So I encourage you to use it as a tool. Help me out. Adore, confess, thanks, supply. Organize your thinking that way. If you want to have a conversation with me more about it, I'll linger at the front. And I hope I have just not utterly confused you. That was not my goal. Some of you are like, are you sure it wasn't your goal? I have not tried to confuse you this morning. Let me leave you with this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Tonight, I hope to see you at Seek Week. beginning tonight. I encourage you to carve out at least one. Some of you need to be here each time to show your expectation and your desperation after the Lord. Gentlemen, if you would quickly give communion emblems. Why don't you all change your position? You've been seated for a while. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to honor the Lord this morning in observing the communion emblems today. You do not need to be a member of this church nor regular tender to partake in communion. It's simply the inference, this question: what have you done with Jesus in your life? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he your best friend? Is he your Redeemer? You're not making a covenant to come back. You're not making a covenant to be a member of our church. We're not signing you up for cafe ministry. Between you and the Son of God, who gave himself up for you, will you honor the fact that his body was broken and his blood shed for you? Once you have the emblem, maybe get a head start and begin to separate. Once you have the bread separated, we just begin to just hold that bread next to your heart, the symbol of his body broken. For you are at the center of his heart. Are you aware of that? He came for you on purpose, and he would do it again. Forgive me, I can't separate mine right now, so I'm going to pantomime taking the bread this morning. We just hold the symbol of his body next to your heart. Lord, you are thinking of us. Lord, in this new year, this new decade, this new season, we want your vision. We want to write it down. We want to make it plain. We want to run with it. And we can only have vision because we can look more towards today than yesterday because of your grace that set free our yesterdays. You have bought us back. And I thank you for your body broken so that we could be put back together again. You have fixed us, and we thank you. So now, Lord, we do this in remembrance of you. We partake of the symbol of the body of the Lord, this bread broken on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Can we partake together the symbol of his body broken? We may have to go old school at some point. I still can't get mine separated. Let's hold the symbol of, do you know that his blood will never lose its power? It's pure, perfect, powerful blood that chased you down, that pursued you. Not because of anything that you are, anything that you've done, because of him. Jesus saw fit to come down for you. To be lowered so that you could be lifted. To die so that you could live. But yet on the third day he cheated death, hell, and the grave. And he is alive and well, everyone. And just at the point where you don't think you can take it anymore here on this planet, he's coming back for you one day. It's his promise. He is the risen and exalted one. He is the soon coming and conquering king. So we drink with gratitude, we drink with faith this morning. That this is our cup of salvation, the cup of redemption, the new covenant between us and God because of Jesus, everybody. Come on, let's drink together this cup of salvation. I want us to sing together this song of dedication, of gratitude. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Come on, let's declare it together.